Good morning. Welcome to the Shekinah Messianic service this morning. We typically hold every Saturday at this time to celebrate the Shabbat service, but today it's a special day to remember our dear Rabbi Marvin, what he has done for the congregation and how he touched each one of us. So, Heavenly Father, we are once again come before you to worship you and lift up your name high. Also at the same time, we want to remember our dear brother Marvin, who loved you, who served you, Lord. And we pray that each one of us would take example from him and love you and love our friends, Lord. Be with us now and fill our heart with your Holy Spirit. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen. So we will light a candle. Lydia, with you.
Et Yeshua, Mishichenu, Or HaOlam. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us and who commanded us to keep the Sabbath and to lighten us to be a light to the nation, who gave to us Yeshua, our Messiah, the light of the world. Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony that Marvin was in our lives. We thank you for his life and his he led us, Father, with grace, with love, with in the new covenant of love. He just taught us, he lived it, Father, and he exemplified what it means that Jew and Gentile one in bless your name, Father. We thank you and we ask you, Father, to represent you, that this city may know that you are, how beautiful you are, how loving are your ways, Father, and how concerned people could be for them. We ask you to bless them, Father, bless them. We pray against any violence in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Okay, so we'll continue the service from here on. Yes.
Trumpets, make them of hammered silver. Use them for summoning the community and for sounding the call to break camp and move on. When they are sounded, the entire community is to assemble before you at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Also, on your days of rejoicing, at your designated times, and on Rosh Chodesh, you are to sound the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. These will be your reminder before your God. Obedience to that commandment, I entreat you. Take heed to the sound of the shofar, the long clarion call of the shofar, summoning God's people to do God's will, to proclaim the good news of salvation. Messiah's return draws near. Remember the sound of the shofar, O my people.
Well, I'm getting closer to the glory, so that's good sight. I like to read from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me, my head, with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he is with the Lord today. Bless him. Devotion at this time, I'd like to call up Pastor Chuck. Pastor David is supposed to share his thought as well, but he became ill, so he would read what Pastor David wrote. John would read it for us. Wonderful. Okay. So John will do it for us. And then after that, Chuck will come and share. Okay, yes. Sure.
Well, first of all, David sends his regrets that he can't be here. And I feel really bad because David really loved Marvin. And David is a real giver. And I know that this is an attack on him because of what he's been doing and all the stuff that he's involved in. But anyway, we just lift him up in prayer and we keep him up in prayer. And he's asked me to read what he had written to say at this event. So I'm going to do the best I can do. Thank you. Today, as I contemplate the loss of a friend, I realize that I had met a man of God who lived the word of God by faith alone, and he touched me. We all have been told that there are three persons in God: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Margaret Pressman was also composed in three parts: a spirit who had a soul and was housed in a physical body. Even his soul had three parts: a mind, emotion, and a will. Marvin was made in God's image, and God is a spirit being. So the real Marvin, who was created in God's image and was known to God before Marvin was formed in his mother's womb. At the end of Marvin's many years, God called his spirit back to himself. He sent angels to accompany Marvin on the journey. That journey from here to there was, I believe, almost instantaneously. Suddenly, Marvin was standing before God, and he had never seen but whom he had loved so very much. I am convinced that Marvin looked at his face and into his eyes, which most surely be pools of love. He saw God smile at him with so much warmth, and Marvin heard his voice as he probably said, "Welcome home, son. I'm so proud of you." As the Lord settled his hands on Marvin's shoulder and lovingly looked at him, he said, "Marvin, I love you so much. You have served me faithfully for so many years as a husband, a son, and a shepherd. You have told so many people about me. Even though you have never seen me, there are so many people here because of your faithfulness and your great love for me. They are waiting to greet you. Come, my son, you are finally home. There will be no more pain, suffering, disappointment, rejection, sorrow, or tears. Come now and enjoy my peace, joy, contentment, rest. You deserve it because you have been my good and faithful servant. As I write this tribute to Marvin, a song he must be singing, I come to the garden alone with the dew still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me and he says, I am his own." Amen. And then he has another one here. It's called "The Tear of the Temple Curtain," and it's 1 Peter 1:3. "What is the source of your hope? Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth and to the living hope through the resurrection of Yeshua from the dead. Our faithful God has conquered death through his son, Jesus. The reality of this greatest of all victories lifts us to a strong, robust hope every day and every circumstance. Marvin has now also defeated death and has entered victoriously into the most holy place, into the very presence of God, to live in a total unity, peace, and harmony for his eternal life with Christ. Matthew 27:1. Thank God for at the very moment of Yeshua's death that the special curtain was torn, symbolically showing that all people who believe in his sacrifice for the forgiveness of sin can enter God's presence. That tear is reason for our unending joy. Jesus has enabled us to stand in the very presence of the Most High God. Marvin, I can hear you now standing in the very presence of the Lord. You love so much with raised hands, singing, yes, Kodosh, 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 holy, holy, holy. Today is the day, if you have not reserved your place, if you've not reserved your place in heaven to be with Marvin and the multitude who have accepted Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, as your personal savior, after the service, somebody would be happy to introduce you to our Father. That was David's. Now we're on to Jones, and Jones is not exactly like that. Jones is more personal. my feelings and about Marvin himself as a person. I haven't known him as long as some of you have known him. Richard actually met him when I was in Florida, and he told me about him, and I was so happy that Richard had met a male friend to talk with. And anyway, and then we started attending a church, and Richard told me that I was in Florida, that he had met him. I was excited to meet him when I come home because I heard so many good things about him. Needless to say, when I come back to meet Marvin at our house on a few occasions, I liked him immediately. I could sense his genuine kindness and just peaceful. I just felt it from him. And then we started coming to the Messianic congregation, which was inspiring, encouraging, uplifting, and definitely spiritual. And Rabbi Marvin was definitely spirit-filled and led by the Spirit. Rabbi Marvin devoted his time and efforts helping other people. This was one of his main concerns always, putting others before his needs and plans. It was obvious that God was working in Rabbi Marvin's life. For example, when he prayed, God blessed him. A true sign of God's servant. Example, when he got a scar, which was really a blessing. He showed us that how strong prayer is, that if we pray and we truly believe in God's word, things will happen. We can move mountains. He taught us that, which was very, very, very good. And he also asked me to help a friend who at the time was his fiance, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. And at the time, again, he was thinking about somebody else, not himself. He's always thinking about somebody else. Since then, Hope and I and her two grandchildren have become a family. It was such a special opportunity to be in their lives. And Rabbi Marvin also introduced me to Pastor Chuck at the West Ottawa Community Church. And while they were doing a children's camp, which I got to bring a lot of children to, it's again Marvin thinking about the children, which I was really happy to be involved in. Anyway, I myself find Marvin as caring and gentle heart for others. As members of the Shekinah Messianic Congregation, we have lost our pastor, but in our personal lives, we carry memories of God's beloved servant, Rabbi Marvin. Jesus, our Savior, promised that those who served in his behalf will arrive into our Lord's welcoming arms for eternity. Hallelujah. Our only hope, Richard and my only hope, is to encourage Rabbi Marvin's replacement, whoever he is, to lead us forth into God, our Lord's arms, and keep active the Shekinah Messianic congregation. Amen. Thank you.
That was well done. Let me just ask, first of all, are we on Zoom, Roland? Does David know? Oh, just being recorded. Excellent. Okay, well, David can watch. Well done, David, and well done, Joan. Yeah, I want to attempt something in the next few minutes that I believe is going to be a great blessing and a great honor to our brother Marvin. First of all, Marvin's best message, his greatest message, was his life, the life that he lived. And I look at Marvin, I think of the characters in The Chosen, and Marvin is like one of those characters right out of the film series, The Chosen. And there are many characters in the kingdom. You know, I often say that there are many characters in the kingdom, but we're all called to reflect one character, and that's the character of Christ. And Marvin did that really, really well. Many of you remember Marvin's humor. He's going to be known for his humor. And he would often say, he'd make this statement. He'd say, people say that Jewish people have money to burn. So there you go. And he would say, he came up to me one day and he said, you know what a Jewish dilemma is? And I said, no, I don't know what a Jewish dilemma is. He says, free ham. And then shortly after, I knew Marvin and got to know him and we became good friends. I said, Marvin, I want you to speak at West Ottawa, but I have a Gentile dilemma. And I left him hanging for a little while. And then he comes up to me, he says, what's a Gentile dilemma? I said, I want you to speak, but I have no money to pay you. And bless his heart, he spoke here many, many, many times. He'd get a kick out of the fact that there are actually 4 celebration services for him. There was one online. We at West Ottawa had one. There's one today and then one around Passover. So I think he'd get a kick out of that. Four celebrations of life. When I was in the hospital, I was standing over his bed the first time he went in the hospital, and I'm standing over his bed looking down at my phone, and I look over and he's got this little smile on his face and he says, you look like you're saying the last rites. You're giving me the last rites, you know? And, oh my goodness. So we believed together that we were witnessing the beginning of something absolutely amazing, a move of God, and we were so thankful. Marvin, anyone who knew Marvin knew he longed for revival. This was his heart for revival. Just a short time ago, he sent me this song, and it's simply called Holy Spirit Come. And it says, come like a flood, like a fire. Holy Spirit, fall in this place, fill our hearts. We're on the edge of a new beginning. God, we know you have so much more. I want to invite my wife up here, and I also want to invite, if I can invite 3 fathers to come up. Actually, it's going to be 4 fathers, but yeah, let me do all 4 fathers. Can you guys come on up, Father Francis and Father Bob? Just come and stand right here. In the order, I'm kind of calling you up, okay? So come and just stand. Come and stand up here. Come on, because I'm going to invite Ken. I want Ken to come up and stand next to these brothers. And I want Godfrey to come up and stand next to these brothers. So Ken and then Godfrey, okay? These are like, these are fathers, and we're going to attempt something. Valerie's going to say something first, and we're going to attempt to use the next 7 or 8 minutes total, guys, 7 or 8 minutes combined to say your best thing you want to say today that you've come with. We used to joke around with these 2 Catholic priests here, you know, that Marvin, a Jewish rabbi, 2 Catholic priests and a pastor. Like, you know, it was like a cartoon, but we had such incredible fellowship together. So Valerie's going to go first, and I'm going to rotate these fathers, all these 4 fathers through. Marvin brought a great word to Father Ken, and we have him on the block because of Marvin and, you know, continuing block. And we're so grateful for that. So, okay, Valerie, and then we're gonna cycle through really quick.
Yeah, so just real quick, what I know about Marvin is he's so fun-loving and always made me laugh, eh? So the other thing is his heart. Like, I really feel that his heart was to see the Holy Spirit manifest. And so every Sunday morning I would come in, he'd already be here in the prayer room, and he'd be praying in the Spirit. He would be praying loud. So the other, what I loved about him was he'd be praying for like signs and wonders and miracles. And he'd also pray that people would come from the north and the south and the east and the west. And that was his heart. And we didn't see a lot, you know, manifest until lately. And then when we see Ottawa now, they have come from the north and the south and the east and the west. And I'm wondering, is this an answer to his prayers? the harvest field is out there. Anyway, that's.
My name's Father Bob Poole, Catholic priest, pastor at St. Philip's, Richmond. And it's a great privilege to be able to honor Marvin as a friend and as a brother. I've been in the Christian Unity arena there for many years, but I've not met many Messianic Jews, nor got to know them in the way I have with Marvin. And that's because Marvin, as we've said, had such a great heart, and he was always willing to go anywhere, anytime, stretch out a hand to meet a brother in Christ and to make a friend of them. That was his heart for Christian Unity. He was on our team, a fire infusion team, and we had the privilege of sharing ministry together for quite a while. But also to sit down to table with him and Father Francis and Pastor Chuck to plan those events. I was got when I was hosting, was got Marvin to say the blessing, because I love to hear him chanting the Hebrew with that beautiful melodic voice of his. And then be able to share his passion, his heart for the body of Christ to be one. And of course, we've mentioned, Fanny's already mentioned, and others have mentioned his great sense of humor, where he could tell jokes against himself. He once said to me, I think I said to him, I can't remember how it went about, but, you know, Marvin, you know, will you ever eat ham sandwiches? And he said, yeah, I'll eat them at your wedding. And, you know, because Catholic priests don't. Anyway. Marvin, I guess we'll both be eating and drinking at the wedding feast of heaven. I look forward to sitting down at table with you in the Shekinah glory that you sought for all your life and for which your congregation is named, and to celebrate together with you the fullness of Christian unity and the final answer to Yeshua's prayer that we all be one. Shalom, Marvin.
Good word. I'm Father Francis, and as we're talking about him here, I think he is now just looking upon us and laughing at us. See, he is present to us, and I think, you know, the scripture passage that we have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, to myriads of angels around the throne, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. So we think we're talking about him here, but he is really in the midst. He's, hello there, Marvin. You're looking at us and loving us and enjoying us as well. And we hope that you are imparting all that you can from the heavenly throne. Other thing I'm just thinking about Marvin, of course, has to do with the fire infusion and his immense love for the body of Christ and for unity, and how he really understood what Jesus had said at the Last Supper, you know, that the glory that you have given to me, I've given to them, Father, that they may be one as we are one, you know, the love that you've given to me, I've given to them, and so that the world know that you have sent me by the love that they have and they share. So it was one of the things that we received from him and shared with him, you know, on earth, and we look again to be inviting and invoking the impartation of that love. And the other thing I think about him, I think of what one said about St. Paul one time, that the greatest thing for St. Paul was to know that he was loved by Jesus, Messiah. And so I think of Marvin, see, that he knew the love of Jesus in his heart, and that nothing could separate him from that love of Jesus in life and suffering or in death. So Marvin, we just thank you for being part of our lives. We ask you to continue to be with us, work for us now from the throne of glory, and enjoy yourself every time we invite and welcome Jesus into our midst, because you are with him. God bless you.
I was thinking that I might be asked to share something this morning, and Hebrews chapter 11 came to my mind. And one of the key verses is, "Now without faith, it is impossible to please him. For the one who approaches God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." There are two aspects. Faith is both a verb and a noun. And in Scripture, when there is an article attached to the word faith, the faith, like contend earnestly for the faith, it's talking about a content. And the content that we have that makes us believers in common are the ancient creeds. That's what unites us. And yet what really unites us is what Father Francis said, and that's the glory and the love. And so we love across differences. We love across boundaries when we see the glory, because it's the glory that identifies us. It shines out of us. It's evident. And so when we emphasize this faith that Hebrews 6 is talking about, Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But we can please him because we know what he requires. The word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, the rhema of God. And so there's the logos, there's the faith, but then there's the rhema. It's what we hear of God. But when we think of faith in this sense, it becomes trust. It's the word become flesh. It's the word that we hear that becomes flesh when we trust it, when we rest ourselves upon it, when we commit our all to it. And Marvin, like no one else that I have met, was a man who trusted God. He knew what God had said, and he took that objective promise, and he rested on it. He prayed. He expected answers. He needed answers because he lived always on the edge. And if he had anything more, I think he gave it away. And the example of his faith is so amazing, of his trust in God. When I was young, and I just come into the crazy charismatic world, and out of a Baptist pastorate, and I took a step of faith, and there was a brother there, and he talked about stepping in faith as Jesus did, and he said, every step of faith causes others to become righteous, because the just live by faith. And in that context, it means trust. Those who are righteous before God are those who trust him and walk in that trust. And so Marvin, in his life and his trusting God, has sent out these ripples, these waves, into all of our lives that has encouraged us to trust God. And as we trust God and we internalize his word and rest in his word and bring it forth in our flesh, we become justified. Because if he speaks to us and we don't hear and we don't obey, whatever is not of faith is sin, right? And so when we hear his voice and we step out and trust in him, that constitutes righteousness. And so may we, as we think of Marvin, think of his trust in God. He heard the word and he trusted it and he walked in it, and it became real in him. May it become real in us because of our acquaintance and our friendship with Marvin, and because of his prayers for us.
Today I come just to realize that when Marvin is not here, I've lost a great friend and a great brother. I remember, I think the first time I entered into this place, it was by Marvin's invitation. And there was a great worship of churches coming together. And I remember that day very well. Marvin said, Godfrey, you will be blessed with what you're going to experience today. So I met Marvin 4 years ago when I just came from South Africa. And 3 weeks later, I met Marvin. And immediately he invited me to his Messianic congregation. And from there, we connected like people who have met many years ago. And we became so very, very good friends. We shared on different levels. And on a personal level, we shared our confidences. And we shared on a spiritual level. We shared on the, you know, life in general. Marvin was a man of faith on every level in which we shared with him. He was a man of faith. I cannot remember Marvin not trusting God in whatever you share with him. So he was a very great man who inspired me in a very special way. And he loved revival. Talking about revival, his mind was always how to bring everybody together. And talking about that, he actually said, Godfrey, we're going to work on a revival movement that is called Fire and Fusion. He introduced me to these great men of God that I stand with on the same platform today. Through him, I met Father Bob, I met Father Francis, I met Pastor Chuck, and many more other pastors in the city. He was a great man. Marvin, today I miss him. And I miss you. I don't know if I should just go a little bit deeper. When we just met with Marvin, a month later, I told him, man, we have to move into our apartment. He said, do you have furniture to move into your apartment? We just came back from South Africa. I mean, we just came from South Africa. We knew nobody. We had nothing. We were still in the motel, me and my family. And my wife is there present. So he asked me a question. Godfrey, do you have any furniture? I said, I don't. He said, well, don't worry about any furniture because the Lord will bless you with it, with the furniture that you need. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't worry. That's the day you're moving in to your apartment. Let me know. So the day I was supposed to move into my apartment, I gave him a call. I said, Marvin, we are going to move into our apartment. So do you have anything in mind? He said, no, just come to my apartment. I got something for you. So he started pointing things into his home, the lounge, the kitchen stuff. Went into the bedroom, the first bedroom. There was a bed. The second bedroom, another bed. I said, Marvin, so did you keep all these things for me? He said, yeah, I want you to be blessed, bro. I want you to be blessed with these things. Just take everything for you. If you have a truck, just take everything for you. So that touched my heart. You know, because all those things that he gave to me, it was worth a lot of money that I did not have. And he just said, Godfrey, there you are, you can start. That touched me. Marvin took me from where I was. He will take me physically to different churches. and he introduced me to different men of God in the city. I've never seen anybody doing it for me. And that really touched my heart. I miss him on that. Marvin with me, we shared, he shared into our congregation. We started our congregation about three years ago. And he will share with us. He will come and minister to us. He will come physically. He will come. The only thing that separated us is COVID. But even though he will still minister to us through Zoom and through other means, that was Marvin. And he expects nothing after he ministers. And he says, all the glory to God. The only thing that I remember on the last note is that Marvin loved the Holy Ghost fire. He was the lover of the Holy Ghost fire. Every time we say, Godfrey, trust God. God will do something marvelous. The Holy Spirit is there with us. So I just want to say I miss him so much. My family and myself and our congregation, we miss him so much. And we pray that one or another day, we will be together, side by side, and worshiping the Lord forever. And in remembrance of Marvin, what I'm having today, he said, Godfrey, I want you to have this and always have it. God bless you. Marvin, we love you. God bless you. And we will be together one day. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Very honored. Very honoring. Wasn't that honoring? Yeah, give all these men a round of applause. And okay, gentlemen, you can be seated. I just want to end on this one note. I want to just honor Michio and Lydia. And you guys, like, as I was looking at these guys up here, I was going to say to them that you need to know Marvin really loved each of you, because he would tell me stories and tell me things. So I knew that each one of these men were loved. But I also know how much Michio and Lydia were loved by Marvin. You took good care of him, and he was a blessed man because of you guys as well. So thank you. Back to you.
Thank you all. I would like to move on to eulogies. Some people I asked to prepare eulogies and invite a few people up. And I was warned earlier, if you become too long, people get restless. But I don't sense that. People seem to be really involved in the service, so we're going to take time, okay? I'd like to invite first, Peter. Peter, would you?
Hello, everybody. Marvin Pressman. I'm just going to read this. I've been asked to read it, so I'm not going to freewheel. But Marvin Pressman was a sincere person, a sincere Christian, and a messianic minister. He was a character, and he was himself. He had a peculiar sense of humor. He had a so-called fire Bible that actually went on fire. I did not call him often, but I remember at least once where we talked for a long, long time, probably well over an hour. He was all in on the conversation. He would take the time it takes. He did not say, I have to go now. Probably this was part of his pastoral gifting. He was very sincere and real and readily gave you of his time. Marvin was also very practical and had wisdom. Once Marvin so wisely challenged and encouraged me in the right way to do the right thing, Marvin started by saying with some emphasis, Peter, you are a minister of the gospel. He indicated that my special female friend was trusting in me and looking to me to do what was right. This was wisely and touchingly stated. It provided effective and touching motivation and encouragement, and it touched my heart. I appreciate what Marvin said and how he said it in such a wise, winsome, and moving way. I was his main worship leader at Shekinah Messianic Fellowship, and Marvin wanted to have the Shekinah glory of God, the manifest presence of God in worship. At one time of in the earlier Shekinah meetings, he said to the whole congregation about me, "I do not want to quench this man." It means he wanted me to have liberty to, and that's what I wanted to. He wanted me to have the time and liberty to ideally get into the throne room of God and worship. Marvin had told me of a time in Florida, I think it was Florida, when a group of singers began to sing, and he was almost blown over by the power of their singing and the manifest presence of God. I truly appreciated that until he became very weak and ill, he gave me a long, unspecified amount of time to do worship. Marvin loved worship, and he loved to worship, and he was hungry for more and more of God. Marvin himself was a passionate singer and had a love, especially for messianic worship songs. I remember one messianic Jewish song that Marvin sang, and I sang it with him, and he had such feeling and expression in his voice. God has gifted me with musical abilities, but I could not interpret, sing that messianic song as well as he did. The song has a sad element to it, and to me it seems that Marvin was able to sing that song with a passion based on an understanding of the sadness that the Jewish people have experienced in so much of their history. Marvin loved God and he loved people. He had a big love for food and fellowship after the services. He brought different foods. The fellowship sometimes was very long, till after 3 p.m. and service began at 10 a.m. To illustrate how much the Shekinah Messianic Fellowship loved to fellowship, there was a week when during Saturday afternoon, perhaps about 2 p.m. or so, a plane crashed close to the church building and our lights went out. But the fellowship was so enjoyable that the people were staying and talking in the dark. Glory to God. I like to eat, and so did Marvin. But Marvin taught me that Jewish people always include food after their religious services. I think this is an excellent idea, since eating together builds bonds of friendship and relationship. I hope to see Marvin one day in heaven with joy. God bless.
Thank you, Peter. Now I'd like to invite Betty.
Dear Shekinah friends, my heart is sad for each one of you, as I know from the brief time that I had the privilege of talking with him, I realized very quickly his wisdom, his compassion, and care he had for his congregation. I just really started to come here a few times just in the last couple of months. And one time I was just sitting outside waiting for a friend, and he just came and sat with me. And it was in that short 15 minutes that I had the privilege to sit with him that he shared his experience about forgiveness. It's a conversation with him that I will never forget. And I pray that I have the strength to walk in forgiveness like he did each and every day. And until we meet again, just goodbye, Marvin. Okay.
I'd like to invite Susan.
Some of my memories of Marvin are of his character of compassion. Oh, thank you, Michelle. Kindness, his gentleness, his humor and humility. And we all loved his gift of hospitality. It was so appreciated, and he had what a servant's heart he had. Helen, our friend, our beloved Shekinah member who just passed away a few weeks ago, and she loved Marvin, and she just could not believe she had been a Christian like 40 or more years, and she said she'd never had a pastor treat her with coffee upon arrival at church. Marvin was the first and the only, and he'd not only bring coffee, he'd make coffee, but he sometimes made us homemade muffins and donuts or from Tim Hortons. And then after service, there was hot dogs and popcorn. He really spoiled us. To all of us, I believe Marvin exemplified waiting on the Lord and the proper fear and reverence of God. He really showed that to me and all of us. And I'll be forever always grateful for that, because I was tending to be very religious from my background of being growing up that way. And but Marvin was really a blessing to me to show how, you know, God, Father is so approachable and how much he loves us. And last summer during baseball camp, Marvin gave my grandson Davy and me a drive home. And that was so nice because we were kind of stranded out here. And it's we live in Ottawa, and I live, well, I don't live with my grandson, but I live close by. And then he went through McDonald's drive-thru and bought us lunch. He will be greatly missed, but we will see him again. Praise God. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. And now, Lydia, your turn.
Okay. Here are three attributes exhibited in Marvin's leadership: love and action, excuse me, creativity, aspiration, and motivation. In Revelation 3, when John saw Yeshua walking among the candlesticks, that is the churches, one of the few churches for which Yeshua had no condemnation, but rather Yeshua's admonition to the church in Philadelphia was love for the brethren. Marvin had that philo gift. Marvin lived by faith. He was generous, and he gave and gave and gave. God multiplied it and multiplied it. In one incident, he needed a cabinet for his office. I found one on Kijiji. We were ready to pick it up, but the woman canceled the deal. But God had a surprise gift. A nice cabinet was found on Kijiji again. The vendor quoted $75, and it was near Smith's Falls. The cabinet was heavy, so Marvin asked Pastor Chuck and Corey to help. Corey borrowed his father's truck. When they got to the lady's home, the woman said, "How about 40? Her husband piped up and said, "No, no, 20. "Oh, why don't you give it to them?" Pastor Chuck responded, "You have just made a messianic rabbi very happy." "How interesting," says the lady. "My daughter is dating a Jewish boy, and we are Christians." Praise the Lord. The money collected from the congregation was spent on Shekinah Ministries. Marvin led our congregation with love and grace, not the law, but the new covenant of love. Let us love one another, therefore, following Yeshua's example. Paul taught us about one new man, Jew and Gentile, led by the Holy Spirit. Marvin lived it and exemplified it in his life. Eradicating replacement theology. One of Marvin's goals was to inspire the church to love Israel, to teach the symbolism in the feasts, which all pointed to Yeshua's life and work. Yeshua's coming down from glory to identify with us, teach us about Abba Father and his kingdom. Yeshua came to fulfill prophecies past, present, and future. Our roots are, as Christians, are in the Tanakh, the Old Testament. Excuse me. Creativity in serving. Marvin, like Yeshua, loved to serve and feed the masses. In the feast of the Lord, we followed the traditional foods for each feast, i.e. latkes, pancakes, and blueberry sauce and cream, the traditional dishes of Passover, etc. With the help of the brethren, we built a sukkah for the Feast of Sukkot, ethnic menus for church barbecues, paying special attention to individuals with dietary preferences and restrictions. All these extras motivated by philo love. I wonder if Marvin wasn't from the tribe of Asher. Marvin was very sensitive to people's needs and reached out to go the extra mile in whatever the issue was. With wisdom, love, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, people experience the love of God through Marvin. Marvin, this is hard for me. Marvin, we love you, miss you, and look forward to the day we meet again. We rejoice with you as you are in the presence of Yeshua, that you loved and served with great devotion, not to mention you're with Joan, the love of your life. Well done, good and faithful servant.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to come up and say? Otherwise, I will do my part and then after that, is able to sing.
This is a nice, humorous thing, and it's a true thing. And those that have been in the Shekinah want to know about Jewish culture, and it really taught me something, and maybe it'll teach you, and it's a funny thing. So he said that there were two comedians in New York City, and one of them was Jerry Seinfeld, who is Jewish. So Jerry Seinfeld and another comedian from New York moved to Los Angeles, and they were seating together on the plane. And then, you know, in Los Angeles, they went their separate ways. And then about 4 months later, the two comedians met in Los Angeles. And the other comedian said to Jerry, man, is it ever hard to find an apartment in Los Angeles? And you know what Jerry said? Jews don't rent. And so I asked Marvin, he said, it's truly in the Jewish culture or strategy that they don't want to be renters, they want to be owners. And so Jerry Seinfeld bought a house in Los Angeles. He didn't have that problem. So that's humorous and informative. God bless.
Thank you. Okay, so I will. Oh, yeah, okay. Hope?
Marvin was a very special friend to myself and my family. He was very loved, and he was there when my husband took his dying breath. He was there for me after my husband's passing. We became very close. He was loved very much by my siblings, who greatly respected him, and my grandchildren, who referred to him as Grand Marvin. So he used to sing a song that he made up to soothe the kids, because I ended up with the full care of my grandchildren. And I was wondering if I could change the words a little bit and tell you what he used to sing. He used to sing it to each child as they were upset or having a meltdown. So now I'm going to insert Marvin's name in it. And the children aren't here to sing it. We love you, Marvin. Oh, yes, we do. We don't love anyone as much as you. When you're not with us, we're blue. Oh, Marvin, we love you. So he took the kids to doctor's appointments and wherever we had to go, all kinds of appointments, because there's lots of things to do. And he bonded with them, and they loved Marvin, and I loved Marvin, and we all loved Marvin, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man.
Thank you, Hope. So now Patricia wants to.
Hi. I'd like to mention that I haven't been coming here very long, but I have grown to appreciate Marvin as a leader. I enjoyed his dedicated Jewish mannerism and the Christian. And, you know, as I look toward the future, I look at him as a champion, as a hero, because he fought the fight. He got the prize. And we got something to look up to when we think of him. Amen.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mary? Sure.
Just to quickly just to honor him because he's so special. I didn't know him very long either, but through some turnarounds in my life that through struggles battling all my life and then turnaround that otherwise, you know, but for God, but for the grace and goodness of God, were anywhere to go at all, but that him as an ambassador of that. And in that peaceful way, and then learning the levels of the love and the care, and yet he walked in such peace and sweetness. Like he had all the time in the world for every single thing he was doing and giving, and so relatable, so honest and open with what his struggles were to relate to, like just to say thank you, Marvin, and the blessing that he was. Just beyond measure, anything I've heard, and yet he could give that so much, and yet walk like he was just in this his own time space with God, and yet going through everything he was, and all that kind of love that is just only but of God, and the intimacy was with him, so special. So, just the thank you, Marvin, and praise you, God, and that he's with you now, and just bless you all, and all the goodness of God. Amen. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, Bernie. Sure, it's okay, yeah?
Praise the Lord, everyone. Shavek Lael means glory to God. Marvin and I used to, every Friday or Thursday, we used to go to Tim Hortons for coffee. And the service he had here, he'd record on his phone. So we'd be sitting in the parking lot listening to the sermons he did, the recordings and that. They were very good. And he said, Bernie, you know, you got to say yes, dear, all the time to your wife. You got to love her, love her, love her. I said, yes, Marvin, I know that. I'm not perfect, people. And knowing that the Lord is here today, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to find a new leader. We need someone to lead us in the spiritual things of God. Like, we need the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that the Father is good because he draws it to his through Yeshua, but the Holy Spirit is the one. He's our strength, our comforter, wisdom, and knowledge. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bernie. Anyone else? Okay, then I'll do mine then. After mine, Giselle will sing. Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy stating, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We met Marvin Pressman shortly after he came up to Ottawa. This is about almost 10 years ago. He has been a true servant of our Lord, always eager to share the gospel of Yeshua with others. He had experienced many difficulties and disappointments, but at the same time, he was loved by many of us here at the Shekinah Messianic Congregation, as well as at West Ottawa Community Church, brothers and sisters. Paul also wrote to Corinthians, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yeshua himself stated to Mary when her brother Lazarus died, Yeshua said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? That John 11:25. We are certain that he does not want us to be discouraged, but rather see us continue sharing the good news of Yeshua with both Jews and Gentiles. And we look forward to the day we will see Marvin again before our Lord and the King. Goodbye, Marvin, for now. I'd like to invite Giselle.
Marvin was a very special friend. For those of you who do not know, he was vice president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship in the States, in Florida, for several years. And when he came up, we had the great honor and privilege of being in leadership at the West Ottawa Full Gospel. And every Saturday, he would be first there. And I would lead in worship before the meeting started, just to fill the room with the presence of the Lord. And he would be there every Saturday. And when he started the fellowship here, I just felt in my heart that I was to come and to support him. And it was the greatest privilege in my life. And the one gift that he never seen to that extent, someone who trusted me implicitly. And that was such a gift. What a gift to have someone. And when I heard he passed away, I started to cry, and I realized I was in my devotional that I was crying for myself. I was selfish. Because he was in glory. He was on the other side of the word, you know, that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He was no longer short of the glory of God. He was in the glory of God. And every morning in my devotional, I sing this little chorus that we've sang here many times. And I just like to sing one verse before I sing the song laid upon my heart, that he no longer says, I will come and bow down. He can say, here I am. Here I am and bow down.
After this, I'll ask Bob to say. Okay.
Are you?
Can I sing?
No.
I think they changed their mind, they're shy. Okay. Then I will invite Bob to and say the closing prayer for us. And after that, I'll make a short announcement.
Romans 11 was something that Marvin lived. He talked about salvation coming to the Gentiles, and that in Romans 11:17 it says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive, was grafted in among them, and didst become partakers with them of the root of the fatness of the olive tree." That we as Gentiles have been grafted in, and Marvin showed a welcoming heart, and that we've been included into the family of God because of what Christ has done for us. And he elicited Christ in you, the hope of glory. He showed it himself, but he encouraged it in each one of us. And that that he wanted to spend himself by encouraging others that they were in Christ and that he wanted them to come. Now, I was asked to do the Aaronic blessing. And rather than me stumble over the Hebrew,
I asked Roland to put up the song of it. And so if we could all stand, we'll enjoy the blessing. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his face upon you and give you his peace. Shalom. Bless each one.
Thank you, Donna. This will close our service.